Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
It's my absolute privilege and pleasure to be with you today to talk about the resurrection. For anyone who's been in church, you know, either growing up or been around at a few services, and I see some familiar faces, you know, the resurrection is something that we all know about. It's something that, you know, if we've been through a few Easters, it comes up every year. There's nothing new, there's nothing groundbreaking. But I just want to say it is really incredible. That it is amazing, and this should be our everyday, is the celebration of what Jesus has done in sacrificing or willingly going to the cross and paying the debt for our sin, but not leaving it there, but rising from the dead so that we can be made alive in him. And 1 Peter 1 verse 3, quite a well-known passage, talks about this, and we sung about this just before. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. That's our inheritance. If you're in Christ, you have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. You have eternity with God. That's incredible. And it all comes because of the resurrection. The resurrection is an integral part of what God did by sending Jesus as a man. So we're going to look at it today. We're going to look at it through the eyes of a few different people, some Jewish people who heard about the resurrection, and then some Gentiles who heard about the resurrection a little bit later on in the book of Acts. And hopefully this is an encouragement to you that the resurrection, the gospel, the good news, it's all relevant to everyone. Doesn't matter what your background is, what you know or don't know about God, the resurrection is a hinge. It's a pivotal truth. And because the resurrection is true, everything else about God is true. Everything else that Jesus claimed is true as well. And so it doesn't matter what stage of the journey you're on. Doesn't matter what your understanding of Christianity is, what your faith tradition, your background is. But the resurrection is a great place to start. The fundamental truth that we can be reconciled back into relationship with God. And then we just get discipled and we get sanctified from there. So would you turn with me if you've got your Bibles? We're going to be covering a fair bit of scripture and hopefully it works a bit better on the screens. But we're not going to read it all because there's a lot. So hopefully my voice is okay and just follow along. But Luke 23, the burial of Jesus. And I just include this just so we know that Jesus definitely died. Jesus, he wasn't in a coma, he wasn't knocked out, he definitely died. The Romans were really good at murdering people, and so they didn't make a mistake. He died up on that cross. And in Luke 23, we read about the burial of Jesus from verse 50. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and their action. They hadn't consented to killing Jesus. He came from a Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut into the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. Verse 55. The women who had come down with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body had been laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. So if you were one of the women, you've just lost the person you were following, the person who you thought was the Messiah. It's the end of the world, sort of figuratively for you. Because what you thought was going to happen, you know, that Jesus, they thought Jesus was going to bring in the kingdom of God, and that hasn't happened. He's now dead in a tomb. So that's the context that they'd find on the next day. Luke 24, Jesus is risen. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they'd prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away, just as Mel read before. It was already gone. When they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they're wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the woman bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified on the third day, be raised again." Then they remembered his words. So the woman had to be reminded that Jesus spoke about this. Similarly, Jesus, after his resurrection, he met with two disciples on the road to Emmaus on that same day. They didn't recognize him, and so as he walked along with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, he explained all the scriptures, everything that happened in the Old Testament that had to occur for the New Testament, for the New Covenant to be entered into and to be fulfilled. So he explained his own life, death, and resurrection to the disciples. And it was only once they sat down together to eat a meal that they realized this is Jesus, that he's risen. And then they ran over to where the other disciples were staying, back in Jerusalem. It was about 7 miles. They ran back and they found them, and Jesus appeared there as well to the rest of the disciples. From Luke 24:45, addressing all the disciples here. Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are the witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." The disciples, the women and the men who were following Jesus, who knew Jesus, you know, they didn't think it was going to end this way. They didn't think he would go be crucified and put in a tomb. And so here he is explaining why it had to happen and that this actually is good news. The gospel that Jesus preached when he was walking around in his 3 years of ministry was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near," or "the kingdom of God is near." That once the disciples realized that Jesus had been resurrected, this put all the pieces into place in their minds. They're Jews. They know that the Messiah has been promised. They can read about it in the Psalms. They can read about it in the book of Isaiah. The prophets, the writings, they all attest to this coming Messiah. And so they have a worldview, they have a context to understand that the one who would save them, the one that who would deliver Israel, would suffer, would die, and that would be the way that that God brought about restoration of the nation of Israel. So now they see this as really, really good news. But that's to a Jewish person. The Jews had the history. They understood what God was doing in his act throughout all, his redemption act throughout all of human history. The Gentiles didn't have the same background. They didn't have the same context. So when we hear the good news being spoken, not to Jews, not to disciples, when we hear it being preached to Gentiles, it looks a little bit different. So we're going to go to Acts 2 and have a look at how Peter, when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and we had a whole lot of Jews visiting Jerusalem, and they thought the followers of Jesus, the ones who believed in the resurrection, they thought they were drunk because they're speaking in other languages and other tongues, in tongues that they could understand. So Peter got up and he explained, and he presented the gospel message slightly differently to a group of Jews who weren't local, a group of Jews who hadn't met Jesus themselves. So in Acts 2, we verse 22, we can read this. "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep its hold. So the gospel shifted just a little bit, going from Jews who met Jesus to Jews who had a good understanding, but they hadn't witnessed it themselves. The response in Acts 2, because they've got this background, this understanding, is what must we do? We believe now in the resurrection. There's that many witnesses attesting to it. What must we do? And the response was, this is the response here. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So with these Jews, there's an understanding of salvation. There's an understanding of the framework. So when they're confronted by the resurrection, when they have to ask the question, are they going to believe the resurrection or not? If they do believe it, then they say, we need to follow this. If they don't believe it, then they're rejecting it. But they have a framework for it. In Acts 17, we have Paul now addressing Gentiles, people who weren't Jews. And so there's, again, a little bit of a shift in the way the gospel is presented and the way that this resurrection truth is given to them. So from Acts 17, verse 24, this will be on the slides there. "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. He does not live in temples built by human hands, and he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations so that they could inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that divine being is like silver or gold or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead." And so the resurrection is good news to the people who have no Jewish background at all. But it's framed within the larger narrative. This is God. This is your creator. He is close to you. He hasn't been far from you. You've been far from him, but he has been close to you. And this is now, through the resurrection, this is your way to get back to God. And so it's a slightly different message, but it's the same core truth. This resurrection of Jesus is good news for everyone. Doesn't matter where you are on your journey, how close or far you feel you are from God, the resurrection of Jesus is really important, and it's really good news. The message that is unpacked to the Gentiles is that the Creator God, the one who created everything, cares about you. He's not just the God of the Jews. So maybe if we put this in our context, you have your non-Christian friends and they go, your God is just the God of Christians. You know, you can do what you like. You can go to church. You can read your Bible, pray, whatever you want to do. But he's your God. He's not our God. And so what Paul's doing here is saying, no, this is the God. And the way that he has proved that he is the God is through the resurrection. Because it's impossible otherwise. People don't just return from the dead. There's got to be a God, a creator, who's enabling that miracle to happen. What was lost in the garden, many will know the story of Adam and Eve, what was lost, how humanity broke relationship with God, has now been restored through Jesus' resurrection. Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 15. "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in all Adam die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in turn. Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him." Put a slightly different way, it's all through the New Testament. Colossians 1, Once you were alienated from God, were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But he has now reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Ephesians 2 says, but because of his great love, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us all through Jesus Christ. So many ways, different ways of just presenting the wonderful news that the resurrection enables us to have relationship with God. We are made alive in Christ. If we want it. This isn't forced upon us. It's if we want it. As a bit of a summary, there's a quote from C.S. Lewis. The New Testament writers speak as if Christ's achievement in rising from the dead was the first event of its kind in the whole history of the universe. Because it was. He is the first fruits, the pioneer of life. He has forced open a door that had been locked since the death of the first man. He has met, fought, and beaten the king of death. Everything is different because he has done so. This is the beginning of new creation. A new chapter in cosmic history has opened. Everything is different because he has done so. So this is the resurrection is the pivotal moment in our history, our human history, because it changes everything. And the resurrection is an invitation, or it offers the ability for us to be invited into relationship with God. A little bit earlier on, we read from 1 Corinthians 15. Just before that, this is Paul writing how our entire Christian faith hinges on the truth of the resurrection. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is useless and so is your faith. That's pretty strong words. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Friends, because Jesus is risen, we can be forgiven. Our punishment was death, but Jesus is the first one, the new Adam, the one who can go through and say, this is how you live now in new creation. And he extends that same invitation to us. If we trust in him, if we believe in him, if we surrender to him, we have this new life. So the resurrection is a big deal. It substantiates Jesus' claims. It proves, if it's true, it proves that he is who he said he is and that he can do what he said he would do, which is forgive our sins. So it's something that everyone should really seriously consider. If it's true, then it also tells us that we need to follow what Jesus said, follow how he lived. So for anyone who is in Christ, the resurrection, and this is a reminder to me, the resurrection tells me that I need to live how Jesus lived because he's my model for the new life. He's who I'm being conformed and transformed into by the Holy Spirit. The resurrection changed everything. And I just want to add that it is an invitation. Because Jesus has done it, fully man yet fully God, he can extend that same invitation to us so that we can have new life, so that we can be reconciled with the Father. He is the perfect mediator. He's sitting at the right hand of God. And if we let him, he will mediate on our behalf. He will say, you are my child, my son, my daughter. You are holy. You are without blemish. There were hundreds of eyewitnesses to Jesus being raised from the dead. So it's, if you want to look at all the facts, I can point you towards some good resources to have a look at investigating whether the resurrection was true or whether it was a fabrication or whether a whole lot of people had hallucinations. You know, many people have thought about these and come up with different theories over the years, but there's hundreds of eyewitnesses to Jesus. It's well attested that he rose from the dead. Your response to the resurrection, I want to suggest that it comes based on where you're at and what your context is. For the Jews who knew him really closely, they were really sad that he died. And it took Jesus explaining that this had to happen for them to get excited and to understand that the resurrection was good news. For the wider population of Jews, it took the disciples who believed explaining that it had to happen. And this is why it had to happen, for them to believe. And for the Gentiles, it took Paul explaining everything, explaining that they were created by God, that there was this one God who made them, who loved them, who designed them for a purpose. And then bringing the resurrection and Jesus into it further along. So wherever you are on your journey towards God, whether you've been following Jesus for a long time or whether you're still asking questions and still trying to work out where you are, the resurrection is a great place to start, and it's good news for everyone. It's the best news. It's really critical for our gospel message. It's really critical for our salvation. The resurrection changes everything, and I've got another summary. I can't write it better than N.T. Wright, so I'm just going to use his words. The resurrection completes the inauguration of God's kingdom. It's the decisive event demonstrating that God's kingdom really has been launched on earth as it is in heaven. The message of Easter, the message of Resurrection Sunday, is that God's new world has been unveiled in Jesus Christ, and you're invited to belong to it. Friends, the resurrection event just under 2,000 years ago changed all of human history, changed all of cosmic history for the better. It enables us to be reconnected with the Father. You're being invited to belong. You're being invited to identify with Jesus' death and his resurrection. You're being offered that new life. Just as we close, I'd love to invite the worship team back up just to sing a chorus about our living hope. And I'll go right back to that first slide, which I think wasn't great. Anyway, I'll read it out. I invite you to close your eyes. Praise to God for a living hope. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Jesus, thank you for your gift. Thank you that you willingly endured the cross. And Father, thank you for raising Jesus from the dead.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.